All right, we're going to try this again, and hopefully we do have Manny on the phone. I'm looking at all my buttons here. Manny, good morning. Kalimarasas. Can you hear me?
Kalimara, Teddy.
Good morning. Good. I'm not sure what happened that first time out, Manny, but I'm actually here with Mike Jannetty today, and we are all, well, curious about what's going on, particularly after yesterday, down about 800, closed out, if I'm not mistaken, about up 100. That is a big swing. You've been talking about these swings. And yesterday, it was never been more clearly evident. So what's going on, Manny?
Yeah, look, I think that a majority of the items that we have been discussing on this program the last few months are starting to get priced in. Now, the only thing is they overreacted and priced in everything in a matter of 3 weeks. You know, when you look at whether it's the NASDAQ being down 13.8% in just 3 weeks or the S&P down close to 8% in just 3 weeks. It's been a very, very tough market for equity investors. And what we're looking at is, this is the heightened regime of volatility we tried to express to people, that these are going to be the new normal in terms of how the markets are going to react. Because again, we're exiting a $1.5 trillion stimulus experiment that's never been done before. There's a lot of consequences to pay for ultra easing and free money. And I think that is what's coming to fruition and what we're seeing play out. But it's going to be a very interesting, today's going to be an important day. There's three scenarios kind of outlined for the market, and I'll walk you through them. So scenario one, excuse me for 1 second. Scenario one, if we are able to, and this is probably marking it at a 50% probability, market retraces a portion of Monday's morning's decline, stabilize well above the day's low, which yesterday was 4,200 essentially in the S&P. You bounce off there and you somehow stabilize going into the Fed meeting. That's probably your most likely outcome. Scenario number two, S&P rallies from Monday's close and goes up to 4,410 to 4,500, 4,600. To the right side of the, a potential head and shoulders pattern. That's a little bit more of a technical analysis that won't make sense to people, but it's what we're looking at. And then potentially a crack there from the 200-day moving average, which would then trace the S&P back to 4,000, if not lower. That's a pretty hefty correction. And then scenario number three, S&P rallies to 4,500, 4,600, goes right through the 100-day moving average and potentially moves to the upside, leaving the ability for a new high at some point this year. So there's a lot of market ramifications on how today plays out and how we play out going into the Fed meeting. In our opinion, you probably bounce off that low that you created yesterday, but it's imperative that you don't break it. If you break it, that means that there's much more weakness to come. So today's going to be an important day to watch what happens in the indices. And if we're able to bounce through, again, I think we overreacted over the last 3 weeks, pricing in all the monetary tightening, not just here, but across the world, plus all the geopolitical forces across tensions across the world, plus the inflation numbers. So I do think that there is a slight overreaction, but this is what investors can expect for the next 12 months, in our opinion.
Manny, will there be, I'm curious a little bit about the real estate market, because we're seeing that, we're not seeing fluctuations, certainly not, on a daily basis, not even, it was in some places we're still seeing prices, heat up and the overbidding is still going on, even though we're in a winter market. The spring, which traditionally is the hottest market, rates, we're hearing that perhaps up to 4 rate increases this year. Where does that stand in your opinion?
I think the housing market is safe. I don't think the housing market is at risk. I think the most likely situation that occurs this year in terms of housing is that you stop seeing housing prices go up 19% on an annual basis, but they're not going to probably go down. And my guess is they probably still inch higher in terms of value, because what we know to be true is that there's a limited number of supply out there. What we're reading right now from the construction industry is that builders are actually holding off inventory. So it's not going to, raising rates, does it deter a buyer if a 30-year mortgage goes to 4% versus 3%? I don't see that situation playing out. And if you compare history with rates back in the 70s or 80s, it didn't really deter home buyers back then either. So if anything, it probably stabilizes the increases on an annual basis, but I don't see weakness in housing. And there's no issue with credit spreads, and there's no issue with leverage. And the statistics that came out going into 2022 was that Americans had a historical high percentage of home equity in their homes. So it's not what took place in 2008. I know a lot of people try to take recessions or periods of, economic collapse and draw comparisons, but we are nowhere near similar to where we were in 2008.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that's pretty much, you know, nationwide? Or just pretty much nationwide. Yeah.
I think there's going to be areas that do better than others.
Sure.
I think Texas and Florida continue to lead this country in terms of home appreciation. You know, areas like Massachusetts, I think that we are very secure in home prices. Do we have much to appreciate over the next year or two? Probably slightly, but not in comparison to some other regions of this country. Arizona falls in there too, where you could probably still see some very high home ownership appreciation in those areas. But, you know, obviously there'll be leaders in comparison. But I think overall, when you look at the housing market, it's very secure right now. It's probably bottom of the list of areas that concern me when I look at the overall economy.
With that being said, is it still a good investment? Obviously, it's case by case, but as a generality?
I think real estate is always a good investment. Mm-hmm. I think that it's one of the more secure ways that people can build wealth, and has historically proven to be a good way to build wealth over the last, call it, century or two. But for each individual person, it's got to be a comparison. It's got to be an analysis that's run, and what we do is we do rent versus buy calculation, and look at what the long-term ramifications of buying versus renting are, and allow the person to make the best decision possible for them and their family.
Yeah. Manny, this is a little bit more local. I'm curious. You live in the city. We've had these restrictions that have come to play that were actually delayed for another week. What do you see going on in the city? It's a little off target here, but I want to get an idea from, you know, you who, you know, especially in your age group, that, you know, the city is everything. What do you see that's going on?
I mean, the city is very quiet. It's been that way. I wouldn't say Boston has stormed back by any means. Obviously, with different restrictions in place, it's going to make it harder for certain portions of the population to get out, entertain, and enjoy. But I definitely still think, obviously, restaurants are capped, probably extremely still below their 2019 pre-COVID level. So in that area, they are hurting still. And I think that offices haven't returned. So the city is still very much quiet, just due to the fact that you don't have a lot of people traveling in and out on a daily basis to go to work. And what we know is that after work, people will go grab, you know, a cocktail with coworkers, or get together with a friend on their way home, or stop somewhere as they commute out of the city. So I just think that everything is still extremely slow. But what we're holding on to in terms of faith is that this is the year that this pandemic becomes an endemic. And that is one of our focal points, is that as we go to the latter end of 2022, this should very much be labeled as an endemic, meaning that the restrictions and protocols we have in place to protect us from the virus, but that are limiting our economic ability, will dissipate. And we're seeing that right now in the UK. You're seeing that in the numbers in New York right now that have, you know, are 80% peak Omicron in just 3 weeks. So I think that there's a lot of good things to take out of the last week or two as well, outside of what's performed in the equity markets, and say that we are hopefully turning a page, and cities like Boston can recoup and move forward as we enter 2023.
Yeah. Manny, one final question. I've been making a joke with my family because of late, you know, through the Christmas season, this season particularly, you know, an awful lot of Amazon, UPS deliveries, a lot of cardboard. I can't, every day I'm bending cardboard and throwing it away or trying to recycle it. Who are some of the large corrugated players that have, you know, benefited? Do we know anything about that? You know, those that are involved in the paper industry, should we say? It's got to be huge amount of increase in, you know, supply and demand. The demand's huge. Everything is getting delivered. What are some of the players in that? Is that a Weyerhaeuser, or who are some of those players?
I'll give you another thought, though, to think about is, yeah, so their orders went up and the amount of product has gone up, but what do you think their labor looks like? And what do you think their cost of products look like? So it's pretty much a one-off. Your increase in margin is actually being compressed by an increase in cost. And that's one of the focal points of what we're looking at. And when we look at just forget your industrials, forget your consumer staples across the board. Mm-hmm. When we look at this year, one of the biggest things that we're looking at is Q1 earnings for 2022 is going to be pretty good. But when you compare Q1 earnings to Q4 earnings of 2022, we're going to see a massive discrepancy, meaning that we believe that margins are going to compress and that earnings are going to compress because cost is going through the roof. For both product, materials, and labor, as well as for services rendered. I need to use your freight truck. I need to use your chassis. Well, my cost no longer is $1,200. It's closer to $4,000. So all of these things are going to come into a play, including the cardboard corrugated market, where, yeah, your earnings could be good, but now what is your cost of doing business? It's certainly increasing, and in our opinion, it's actually going to bring down earnings as we look at the latter part of this year. And potentially, with economic growth dissipating, as we're seeing right now, that could potentially put us in a position of economic weakness and potential recession as we go to 2023, depending on how the Federal Reserve navigates monetary tightening.
Interesting. Interesting. Manny, you're always on top of everything. All right, well, we're going to close out with a little football. And I got to tell you, although our Patriots were not present last weekend, this last weekend's playoff games were arguably, it was one of the most entertaining weekends of NFL I've watched in my entire life, particularly this past Sunday. What are your thoughts on, let's talk a little parity in the NFL. It seems like it's a little bit more in play.
Yeah, and look, any given Sunday, right? So, I mean, you had 3 out of 4 underdogs win and potentially should have had a 4th underdog win, depending on how you felt the overtime rule should be used in the NFL as you look at the Chiefs and Bills game that, aired on Sunday night. So you almost had the opportunity where you had 4 underdogs take the road to the conference championships, which is, I don't know. I haven't looked at the historical numbers of the NFL, but that's got to be kind of a first. And I think a lot of people were surprised to see what took place on the field on Sunday. And I believe that, the better teams all outperformed. They had better coaching plans. They executed those game plans compared to their opponent and put themselves in a position to win. I felt for Tom Brady. I don't know how you let Cooper Kupp, you're the Buccaneers defense, run down the middle of the field with 45 seconds left after you just mounted an historic comeback. But that's the nature of the game, and I do believe that the better teams move forward. I didn't think Tom would even have a chance of winning that game, just looking at how much talent had been depleted from Tampa Bay's roster due to injury. Mm-hmm. So it's. I think we're shaping up for an amazing conference championship between the 49ers and the Rams and the Chiefs and the Bengals. Frankly, I'm leaning on I think the Chiefs take care of business in Cincinnati. They've been on a great run, but I think that they're in a better opportunity to put a better game plan forward just due to their experience. When you look at the tenure of the roster of the Bengals compared to the 10-year roster of the Chiefs. On the other side of the ball, I think it's a coin flip, really, between the 49ers and the Rams. I think the Rams are more talented, but again, it depends on who's going to be able to execute their game plan. We know San Francisco is going to really try to run the ball, but that's probably one of the top strengths of the Rams defense. So that's probably the more exciting game in my mind, to see what transpires between San Francisco and L.A.
I think the bottom line is it's a great, it diverts us from what's going on. We spend a couple of hours on a Sunday afternoon forgetting about everything that's going on, and it's, at least for me, it's quite pleasurable, and I think for you as well.
I know people love playoff hockey, and it's big in this area, but I think that what we just displayed is the reason why football is the greatest sport in the world.
Yeah, well, coming from a NCAA Division 1A football player, that doesn't surprise me. But nonetheless, Manny, always a pleasure. Any closing comments for our listening audience today?
No, just keep an eye out on what happens today. I think that, we're still very much in the early inning stages of volatility this year. And, just like you would get a clean bill of health check on your actual body and your mental health, do one on your portfolio, because I think that right now, is a better opportunity than potentially later this year to move some things around and make sure that you are protected. Because as I look at the next 6 months, I think it's actually more about the return of your capital than the return on your capital. I think it's going to get pretty hairy as we go to the later part of this year. Yeah. And if you're invested in these growth stocks, boy, I mean, look at what Amazon and Netflix and Facebook and Twitter took to the chin in the last couple of weeks. I mean, that would be scary to me because I think that the writing's on the wall that what worked for the last 10 years, and I know we've said this in the past, but worked in the last 10 years probably doesn't work for the next 10. So this is probably as good a time as any to take a look at what's going on underneath the hood and rebalance your portfolio.
Mm-hmm. Listen, we say it every day, secure your financial future. I think that if you are a regular listener of Grecian Echoes these past several years, particularly on Tuesdays at 11 o'clock, you realize that Manny Frangidakis is certainly at the top of his game. So if you would like to have your portfolio reviewed, Manny Frangidakis would be more than happy to belly-to-belly it with you or on the phone or Zoom or whatever it takes. 617-212-8343, 617-212-8343. It's our own Manny Frangidakis, always contributing great news to our listening audience. Manny, have a great, great week, and we'll regroup next Tuesday. How's that?
Likewise, guys. Take care. Have a good one.
Thank you, Michael. Michael. I'm Michael across me. Thank you, Manny. Bye-bye. Yeah. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.